Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her Son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to this new episode on Fatima, the 45th episode. And we have been for a long time speaking about hell, and we are at the last stage of this teaching about hell. Why speak about hell? Because, as you know, was part of the secret of Fatima, of the prophecy of Fatima. It was the vision of hell, which is a very difficult vision for the three little children, and also a very difficult vision for us to conceptualize. That's why I took a long stride, and I wanted to speak broadly about this reality of hell, how it is portrayed in the Bible. It does exist, we said before, and then what is hell? And we have concluded that is eternal death. And that's why in the Bible, wherever you find the word dead, it always means that as a consequence of sin, it always means eternal death and not temporal death. Because temporal death, even the one that did not sin, he underwent temporal death as a passage. Temporal death is a passage, is a Pasch, is a Passover, is what we have just celebrated in Easter. So that's temporal death. And so it doesn't mean temporal death. No, Adam and Eve, if they hadn't sinned, they would still die. They would just pass from earthly paradise to heavenly paradise, from paradise to paradise, but they would still die because God told them, grow and multiply. Multiply, reproduce yourselves. So that means reproduce is connected with temporal death. As a matter of fact, Jesus says to that funny joke that these Pharisees invented, was more the Sadducees, because they didn't believe in the resurrection of this woman that marries seven guys and eventually she dies. Whose wife is she in the eternal life? You know, she is no wife of anybody in eternal life. In eternal life, there are no wives or husbands. As a matter of fact, what you promise in marriage is till death. After that, there is no more marriage. After that, there is no more marriage. The marriage is dissolved in death. Up there, we are all brothers and sisters. So there is no such a thing as marriage. That's what Jesus says, because there is no need, there is no that, there is no reproduction. So any time you see, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see that connected with sin, it means eternal that. If I am the bread of life, that Jesus means the bread of life, means the bread for this life and life eternal. It's not like the manna, they ate it and they died. This one, you eat it and you will live forever. But of course, what do you mean by living forever? Not living forever in this life. No, it's living forever in eternity. Okay, so having said that, so we already spoke about the vision of hell, and I want to repeat the vision the way Lucia described it to the Bishop of Leiria, Fatima. But also, it was described in their faces like the father of the two kids, the father of Jacinta and Francisco. He was looking at them. Everybody was looking at them, and you could see their expressions change. They were panicking. Their expressions, when they were having the vision of hell, they were desperate. They were somehow traumatized. It was too difficult for them to bear that vision. And you could see that. You could see that in their faces. Everybody could see that in their faces. Oh, well, they were connected with heaven. They were disconnected with earth. But everybody could see, look at them, and the body, their body language, and you could see that they were having a nightmare, so to say, that they were having a big nightmare. So the way she describes it, Lucia, she says about her about the Virgin Mary, she opened her hands once more, as she had done during the two previous months. The rays of light seemed to penetrate the earth, and we saw, as it were, a sea of fire. Plunged in this fire were demons and souls in human form, like transparent burning embers, all blackened and burnished bronze, floating about in the conflagration, now raised in the air by the flames that issued from within themselves together with great clouds of smoke, now falling back on every side like sparks in huge fires, without weight of equilibrium, and shrieks and groans of pain and despair, which horrified us and made us tremble with fear. Okay, that's the description of hell that the three kids have had. Now, this, of course, hell is here portrayed, in the classical way, as I told you, that hell in the Bible is there directly or indirectly 54 times, and only 11 is portrayed as an eternal suffering. And here, of course, it is portrayed as an eternal suffering. Not an easy thing for us to understand, not an easy thing for the kids to understand. There was at least one that couldn't accept this sort of hell. She never rebelled against it, because for her would be like questioning God, and she wouldn't dare to question God and to question God's mercy. And she didn't have the brains to do that, because she was Jacinta. She was only 7 years old. And she was coming to age. She was coming to self-consciousness. You know that self-consciousness comes to human beings around 6-7 years of age. So she was just being self-conscious. And that was too much for her to bear. Lucia recounted that soon after Jacinta didn't want to play one day. So Jacinta took that vision very seriously, and the one that took it more seriously. And of course, as I told you, these three kids, they have three different personalities. The personalities that the three main personalities, cerebral, instinctive or gut, a gut personality, and emotional. And of course, Jacinta was the emotional one, being Francisco the gut person, and Lucia the one that remained behind all these years till 90. She was 95 when she died. When she passed, it was in the year 2005, and she was cerebral. She was very much brainy. But Jacinta is the one that, you know, just the emotional one, the sentimental one. And she stopped playing. She didn't want to play anymore. She was somehow traumatized by this vision. She told Lucia, that lady told us to say the rosary and to make sacrifices for the conversion of sinners. So from now on, when we say the rosary, we must say the whole Hail Mary and the whole Our Father. And the sacrifices, how are we going to make them? You see, she's the one that that she's very concerned about the sinners, about the conversion of sinners, so that to avoid them going to hell. And so she's very much concerned with sacrifices. So how are we going to do the sacrifices? First of all, it's already a sacrifice somehow to say the whole rosary, because they were kids and they were saying it fast. What's the way they were saying it was, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. That's it. They were saying the beginning of the first half and the beginning of the second half. Hail Mary, you know, one say Hail Mary, Hail Mary, and the other would answer Holy Mary. And that's it. So, of course, they would finish very fast, and then they would have time to dance. Jacinta loved dancing, to dance and to play. In many ways that kids were playing. So, Shinu, how are we going to do the sacrifices? Francisco said, a good sacrifice would be going without lunch. Next, Jacinta asked about how long hell lasts and heaven. How long, you know, so we are temporal beings. It was, how long does it last, heaven and earth and hell? Lucia said the idea of eternity made the biggest impression on Jacinta. The idea of eternity made the biggest impression on Jacinta. Thinking about sinners and hell, Jacinta said, poor sinners. We have to pray and make many sacrifices for them. Then she went on, how good that lady is. She has already promised to take us to heaven. See, they have somehow hinted that that lady was Mary, our Blessed Mother, but she did not introduce herself before. So for a long time, for all the apparitions, that lady, they were saying that lady, and for Jacinta was a beautiful lady. She was overjoyed to see this beautiful lady. So it was for them that lady, because that lady told us that in October, I will make a miracle so that everybody believe that I'm appearing to you, and I will tell you who am I. Who am I? So her identity was revealed only in the last apparition. Now, Lucia described how Jacinta took this matter of making sacrifices for the conversion of sinners so seriously. She never let a single opportunity escape her. For example, in the area where two very poor families with small children, Jacinta told their brother Francisco and Lucia, let us give our lunch to those poor children for the conversion of sinners. Now, before, you know, the shepherds, they would get out of the house early in the morning after having some breakfast, and they would take the sheep, and they would be the whole day with the sheep. So they take with them a bit of lunch, they eat there. And in the beginning, that sacrifice was not eating the lunch and giving it to the sheep. But then they found, well, there are poor people. Why should we give it to the sheep? They have the pastures to eat. So let us give it to these kids. Now, the thing was that Jacinta took very much into her heart if Jacinta was doing sacrifices for the conversion of sinners, now the task of Jacinta was that one. The task of Lucia was, of course, dealing with the message and dealing with the people, telling them about the message, about the visions, the apparitions. And also the task of Lucia was to remain behind and to because the fulfillment of the promises of Fatima, they were throughout the 20th century, up to the end, up to her death. Now the task of Francisco was to pray. You see, if it's the task of Jacinta is to make sacrifices, the task of Francisco is to pray. It's not that Francisco doesn't do sacrifices and Jacinta doesn't pray. They both do that. But somehow they are specialized. And the task of Francisco is to pray. And mostly, if the task of Jacinta is to do sacrifices for the conversion of sinners, the task of Francisco was to console Jesus. To console Jesus. Because Jesus was not consoled with the world situation. So it was to console him. Let us make a pause and then we continue. So the idea of sacrifice, I'm not much an advocate of looking for sacrifices, like the old monks, they put something in their bodies they flog themselves, and you know, that sort of, I would call those artificial sacrifices. I mean, life has already enough hardships. So let us use those hardships as sacrifices as they come your way. Don't be looking for artificial things like flogging yourself, like the old monks, and do other things. The kids, these three kids, although they went also on, with doing the other sacrifices, because that was the time. At the time, that was, you know, these artificial, I would call artificial sacrifices, they were doing them too. They have the, around their bodies, they have these, I don't know how even how to call them in English, but you know what I mean, that they were, and the Blessed Virgin Mary told them that to take it at night, don't sleep with those things. But they had, I would say, the modern idea of whatever hardship that it comes your way, you can turn it into sacred. See, that's the idea of sacrifice. What's the sacrifice? Is make sacred. Make sacred. Sacrum facere. That's Latin. Sacrum, it means sacred. Facere means to do. So, if there is a hardship that you have, and I give you the example, well, the giving, not eating lunch could be fasting, and giving it to poor kids. You are making a sacrifice. It comes your way. Now it's time for lunch. Instead of having lunch, let us give the lunch, our lunch, to these poor kids. And so we make the act of not eating lunch, we make it sacred. We make it sacred because we attach it to it. We attach it to it, the conversion of sinners. We attach it to it an intention. I do this for the conversion of sinners. So you make it sacred. You make it sacred. And you remember what I told you, that there is a prayer of Fatima that I found in my village. They were praying it after the rosary, like many other prayers. And I told them, don't pray that prayer. You have no right to pray that prayer, because that prayer is only the one that involves a sacrifice. When you have a sacrifice to offer, then the act of the prayer, the formula, so to say, the formula to make that that act sacred is this one. And I'll remind you the prayer when the Blessed Mother said, sacrifice yourselves for sinners, and say many times, especially whenever you make any sacrifice. When you make a sacrifice, you say, O Jesus, it is for your love, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Now, some hardship comes your way. You have a toothache. Well, you can offer that toothache. You can make it a sacrifice. So, how do you do it? The toothache is not a sacred thing, but you can turn it into sacred by suffering it for an intention. So that's sacrum facere. So you turn it into sacred. And once you do it by this prayer. So you say, O Jesus, it is for your love. So it is for your love, what? That I'm offering this toothache for the conversion of sinners and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So that's when you could pray this prayer, when you have something to offer, when you have turned a hardship into a sacrum facere, a sacrifice, and then you offer that. And the kids were doing it. Remember, there was once when the kids were in prison, and that was the 13th of August. The 13th of August, the kids were not in Cova da Iria. And for all the likes, it looks like the Blessed Virgin Mary, she was coming, but then she didn't see the kids and she did not appear. And the kids were taken to prison. And in prison, of course, this seven-year-old girl, she was missing her mother, and she started crying. And the other two, I think it was Francisco, that, well, Don't you want to offer that sacrifice for the conversion of sinners? And she said, yes. And she stopped crying. So she stopped crying. She offered that that hardship, not being there without the mother. She offered that hardship for the conversion of sinners. And so she stopped crying. See, things that come your way, you don't need to go and look for artificial sacrifices. You can do that too, but life is hard enough, and you can offer any sacrifice, any disease, anything that happens to you that is awful, and offer it for the conversion of sinners with this prayer, that the offering prayer. Okay, so this is all about sacrifices, and let us continue with this Jacinta, not accepting this sort of hell. Jacinta, understanding all this very well, never ceased to think of a irremediable disgrace of souls condemned to hell. This bothered her more than anything. It caused anguish, the idea of endless punishment. It caused a big, big, big anguish in Jacinta's little mind, the endless punishment. Sometimes sitting on a rock, she would think and she would ask Lucia. You see, Jacinta doesn't live without Lucia. Jacinta needs Lucia like the hair to breathe. One day without Lucia would be a lost day. When she was alone in hospital, about to die in Lisbon, she did not miss her parents. She was missing Lucia. Because Lucia was... the mind of Jacinta was pure heart. And the mind of Jacinta was Lucia. Lucia was the thinking head. And Jacinta was only the feeling heart. So she asked, that lady said many souls go to hell. And you're never going to get out of there again? See, this little kid Jacinta asking this. You never get out of there? And Lucia answers, no, you never get out. And even after many years? Still inquired Jacinta, and Lucia asks, no, hell never ends. Hell never ends. But look then, after many, many, many years, hell is not yet over? She still inquires. And those people who are burning there, they don't die. That's another thing. I mean, you go to hell, you burn eternally. You never die. There is nothing that it's against the laws, the thermodynamic laws. No fuel lasts forever, not even the one of the sun or the entire universe. So, and if we pray a lot for sinners, our Lord delivers them from there. You see, hell is a final thing. As Dante Alighieri used to say, leave behind all hope. All you that enter here, put aside any hope. Once you enter here, you never get out of here. So, and with sacrifices too? Poor, poor sinners. We have to pray and make many sacrifices for them. Then remembering Mary's merciful words, she added, how good is that lady? She have already promised us to take us to heaven. Other times meditated on the suffering reserved for sinners who died without repentance, Jacinta, shredded with pity, knelt down and with her hands recited the prayer of Our Lady had taught them. O my Jesus, forgive us, deliver us from the fire of hell. They call the souls to heaven, especially those who most need of thy mercy. So this is the prayer that universally now all Christians recite at the end of each decade. It came from Fatima. It was our Blessed Mother that taught them this prayer to say, and Jacinta was saying it always, all the time. Oh my Jesus, forgive us, deliver us from the fire of hell, take all souls to heaven, especially those who most need of thy mercy. And she remained so long on her knees, repeating the same prayer every once in a while. She called for her cousin or her brother as if waking up from a dream. Francis, Francisco, Francisco, are you praying with me? It takes a lot of prayer to deliver souls from heaven, from hell. There are so many, many, many that go to hell. For this reason, it's also impressed her greatly that Our Lady had announced the Second World War. That was another big announcement. They already knew what was the first one, but Our Lady told them that the worst one was on the way. Jacinta seemed to understand very clearly all the misfortunes that this war would bring to humanity, and above all to the souls of sinners. When Lucia, seeing her pensively, sought to know what she cared about, she sometimes answered, "In this war to come, in the many people who will die and go to hell, what a pity. If they stopped offending God, they wouldn't go to war and they wouldn't go to hell." You know, war portrayed as hell and hell portrayed as a war. Now, there's another question that is very interesting in Jacinta, a question that comes to us too. You know, we know that Jesus appeared to many people, not just the apostles, but I always, as a little kid, you know, participating in the Holy Week services, and then the Easter Sunday, my question it was, why doesn't Jesus appear to Annas and Caiaphas and Pilate and all the priests and all these people that said crucify him? Why didn't he appear to them? He should have appeared to them. You see, that was my inquisitive, childish mind. But, you know, Jacinta had the same idea, in this case as about hell and in the negative way. Why doesn't Our Lady show hell to sinners? So that was her question. You know, Our Lady showed hell to us, but we are not going to hell because she already promised us that we go to heaven. But why doesn't Our Lady show the ones that are on the way to hell, the ones that live a dissolute life, a bad life, doing bad things? Now, she was inquisitive. Why she should show hell to those people, to scare them away to go from going to hell? If they saw hell, they wouldn't sin anymore, she said. So they wouldn't go there. This concern for the souls of poor sinners became even more vivid when Jacinta's crystalline virtue collided with some of evil deed of or said or offensive to our Lord. Then she covered her face with her hands and said, "Oh my God, don't these people know that by saying these things or doing these things they can go to hell? Forgive them, my Jesus, and convert them. I'm sure you don't know that they offend God. Too bad, my Jesus, I pray for them." And then she replied, "Oh, my Jesus, forgive us," you know, the prayer that we say at the end of each decade. So she was very much concerned when she saw evil, she wouldn't say, "Don't do that, don't say that, you may go to hell." And she even told their mother, "You lied to me. You know, lying is evil, is bad, is ugly." That was the word that she would use. Lying is ugly. And of course, her mother slapped her on the face because she was caught in a lie. Jacinta would never lie. Jacinta would never lie. In all her life, she never told a lie. That's an amazing thing. That's why her father, the father of Francisco and Jacinta, said, well, if they have seen our Blessed Mother, they have seen her, because they never lied to me. I never caught them in a lie. So it must be true. I believe them. And he was indeed the first believer, as we know. So Jacinta cannot conceive. Jacinta, one of the three seers, cannot conceive. I believe in the other two, cannot conceive hell as an eternal suffering. She cannot conceive it. And so she is having the same thought that, you know, this parable where hell is portrayed the way they saw in Fatima, this parable of the rich and Lazarus, when the rich is in hell, is asking for help. And if he cannot have the fresh water that he asked for, at least send somebody, tell my brothers they are living a dissolute life like I did, so that to avoid them coming here. I cannot save myself now, I'm here in hell, but I could save my brothers if somebody appeared to them and told them about hell. You see, that's the same thing that Jacinta is thinking, that these people, that these evil people, the evildoers, they shouldn't see hell to avoid going there. Oh, see, that's the same thing. And so next time we'll go about the interpretation, the last thing, the interpretation of this vision of hell, the classic way that we represent hell, and also it was also indeed the way the little kids saw hell. So next time we will say something about how can we conceive this hell. Jacinta could not, and we cannot either. For us, hell is eternal death, but we have to say a word about this vision of hell.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.